Hi, welcome back to another episode of the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I'm your host, Abby Williams. This week, I'm welcoming on Katie and Carly from We Talkers. They are two pediatric speech and language pathologists with extensive training and over 20 years of experience between the two of them. They help children of all abilities learn to communicate to their fullest potential. They help parents of babies and toddlers support their child's language development right from the start. In today's episode, we talk about all things speech and language development for babies and toddlers. We talk about what parents should do if they're concerned about their child's talking, how to access free support and therapy, why language development is so important, and I love that Katie and Carly do not want to add to a parent's already full plate, but they give a few tips for enhancing what you're already doing. I hope that you go find Katie and Carly over on Instagram at We Talkers. They're also on Facebook and Pinterest at We Talkers. Or you can find them on their webpage, wetalkers.com. And in the description of this podcast, I will be linking the We Talkers free milestone checklist, as well as the free sample toddler storytime video. I hope that you enjoy today's episode. And if you do, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support here on the podcast always means the world to me, and I so appreciate you being here. So let's get started. Cheers. Katie and Carly, welcome to the Mimosas with Moms podcast. I am so excited that you are joining me here today because we have connected over Instagram for so long. So I'm excited to be connecting with you here in this space and having this chat with you. Also, I just feel like language development is hard for a lot of parents. We're like, what the heck are we doing here? So I'm excited to pick your guys' brains. But first, tell my listeners a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah, sure. First of all, thanks, Abby, for having us. We're really grateful for the opportunity and we love following you on Instagram. So it's so fun to be here. So we are Katie and Carly, two speech pathologists that have worked in the field for over 20 plus years combined, helping families with babies and toddlers and preschoolers with their speech, language, and communication development. And on our Instagram account, We Talkers, and our website, we share all about like simple and easy things parents can do at home to support language development right from the start. We know we have 6 kids in total, so we know how busy family life is, and we really aim to make everything simple and doable. But at the same time, we want to bring awareness to how important language development is because it's really like the foundation for learning for kids. If you think about it, when they start school and learning to read and all of that, we want them to have really strong language skills, not only to be able to communicate with them on a day-to-day basis, but for their future as well. And it all happens, like, you know, Abby, it happens so fast, right? They go from these little babies to speaking like little adults by 5 years old. So we want to make sure families are, you know, aware of this from an early age and help connect them with resources if needed. So, yeah.
I love that. And you're right. It does go so fast. I know that like we hate hearing that, especially when you're in the thick of it in the early years. But then like my oldest, he'll be 12 this summer and you're just like, what? How did we get here? So let's talk to, I guess, like these early stage mamas or like, what can we be doing when our babies are babies to help support language development?
Yeah. So this is a super common question because when babies are little, it doesn't really feel like it's back and forth for a while. It feels like you're not really sure how to interpret what they're thinking or feeling. But actually, there's a lot of things that are happening underneath the surface during that first year. And you get to play a pretty big role in that. So the research tells us that in the first year of life, the quantity of words that a baby hears is going to be the most important for their vocabulary development. Whereas in the second year of life, the quality of the words is going to be the most significant. So you want to vary your vocabulary a little bit more. But that first year, as long as it's authentic, you can talk about anything. Like you can talk about like what the pediatrician thinks about their reflux. You could talk about how they don't like tummy time too much, but you're working on it. Like it doesn't have to be like this kid-based language. They just need to hear you talk and hear what the language sounds like. And that's how they're going to start learning to talk. So a lot is really happening during that first year of life. And like Carly said, we like to make these things simple and doable because especially in those first months, you're just adjusting to new life as a mom or as a mom of multiple kids. There's definitely adjustments, whether it's your first kid or your fourth kid. So we like to recommend things like reading, playing, singing, and just talking with your baby. Those things are going to move the needle the most during that first year of life.
Yeah. So we went through speech therapy with my oldest. He was 18 months old. He was not saying any words, just one sound. And my pediatrician is really like on the bit about, you know, early interventions. She was really, really good. So we got the speech referral at 18 months. But I got a lot of pushback from family about this. You know, it's like, he's 1.5. Like, he'll get there eventually, right? And I think there's probably some moms out there that are like nodding along. Family gets, I don't know, weird. And I think that there's also probably some moms that might be going through a similar situation, but their doctors aren't referring them. So I know that like so much of this early stuff happens in the first year, but now out of the first year, they should be, what should they be doing and when should parents be concerned?
Okay, sure. So usually the first words will start to come around that 12-month mark. Yeah. And then on average at 18 months, kids are speaking around 50 words and the milestone is 10. And that I know that number can sound like so much and kind of scary to some parents, but at the same time, to count as a word, it doesn't need to be pronounced perfectly. Yeah. We count things like animal sounds. And if your child says like, whoa, or you know, they leave off the end of the word. Like, we're just looking like, are they attaching meaning to something? Like, are they verbalizing something that, you know, like you can identify, they know what they're saying. I think it's great that your doctor referred you at 18 months. We would make the same recommendation. And it is just because that vocabulary growth happens at such a rapid rate. So on average by age 2, little ones are speaking hundreds of words and we would look for at least 50. So you can see if you kind of were maybe to let things go, Abby, and then he got to that 2-year mark and wasn't really picking up. And then before you know it, they're kind of at that 5-year-old level and they, or they're 5 and they're not picking up vocabulary as expected for their age. So it's definitely something where research shows that the earlier that kids get support, the better it's going to be for their outcomes. So words aren't the only thing that we focus on. We definitely want to look at communication overall. So maybe like for your little one at 18 months, we would have looked for things like gestures and are they understanding things you say? So we have like a whole milestone checklist. If people are interested in that, we can give you the link so people can kind of follow along and see all this amazing development that's happening in the toddler years and maybe things that go beyond just the number of words, because I know we can get like so focused there and there's a lot more to communication than just that. So it can be a really helpful resource.
And when you're kind of like assessing for the different things that are going along with maybe a language delay, are you doing that for different diagnoses?
So initially, like when we do an evaluation and a little one walks through our door, in that first session, it's hard to kind of figure out, in most cases, it's hard to nail down, this is the cause. And sometimes we don't even know. Like sometimes it's just the way their brain's wired, and there's definitely indicators that would suggest a certain diagnosis, but a lot of times we don't even know in that first session. We use a lot of parent report, we use our assessments, and we kind of figure out like where are they and like how can we get them to be a functional communicator? How can we help them express their wants and needs and thoughts and ideas in an effective way? And so it's hard for parents not to get hung up on that diagnosis, because I think there's a belief that if you know what it is, like maybe you'll know how to fix it. But the truth is that the overall goal is to get them to communicate with and to reduce their frustration. And so we can work on that regardless of having that diagnosis the first session. If your child were to get therapy, the more that they work with a therapist, the more of an idea the therapist will have about what's going on. But that first session, you don't typically walk out with like an underlying diagnosis. You definitely will walk out with a like, oh, you have an expressive language delay or a receptive language delay, but not necessarily the origin.
Yeah, I know. So my son, when we started at 18 months, they were always like tossing around the word like apraxia as a diagnosis, but I don't really think, and that was, you know, now 11 years ago. I don't know that he actually ever received that diagnosis, because then we were only in speech therapy for a year and he was able to like make up all that lost, I don't know, or the delayed time, right? And so, yeah, I was like so appreciative for that early intervention. Being a young mom and having my doctor that was like advocating for that was so important to me, because I don't feel like I would have known that. I want to kind of go back to, I guess, because I think, you know, I like to attribute mine to like my young motherhood, but I also think that it's just new motherhood, being that first time mom. Maybe you were the first one in your family and you don't have other kids to, I don't know, kind of base them off of a little bit or know like what's normal. So what are, I guess, like concerns that we need to be looking for those first time moms that they know like, okay, this is not what we should be doing.
So we would look for them to be speaking one word by around 12 months, mm-hmm. and then picking up to at least the 10 words by 18 months. Some yeah. other indications that they may need more support is if they aren't trying to communicate with you, like if they're not trying to get your attention and point to things and give you things and interact with you in some way. If it seems like, you know, they're really just not trying to communicate with me, that would be another reason that you'd want to talk to your pediatrician or seek out a speech and language assessment. And then we usually see a big growth in vocabulary from that 18 to 24 month mark, where it seems like they're adding a new word all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like, you know what, they're really just not picking up on it, then that would be another indication that you might want to get some more support. And I think it's really nice what you pointed out about like you were a young mom and you weren't really sure. And we sometimes feel the speech therapy can just be that support that the parent needs in addition to the child, because yeah. it's showing you things as well and just kind of walking alongside you. That's how Katie and I like to look at it, is we're like partnering with the family to kind of yeah. figure out what's going to be the best for everyone. We work so hard to incorporate the parents' goals and parents' thoughts and ideas into how we want to go about things. And so for parents that are kind of thinking they may need support but not really sure, just know, like, I think you'll feel better kind of meeting yeah. with someone and reaching out. And it's not this scary thing, maybe Abby you can explain, but it's usually like play-based, fun for it kids was.
Yeah,
we have bubbles, we have stickers. It's not this like yeah. sterile environment where they're expected to sit at a table.
Yeah,
not
we're sitting all. On the floor all the time.
We're on the floor, yeah. If we're yeah. in families' homes, you know, we could jump on cushions, like it's yeah. fun, right. We make it really fun. So
yeah, and I think that it just gives parents like that assurance that yeah. that the expert is saying that this is significant or that this will help. And I think just that guidance, it takes the overwhelming unknown and kind of makes it easily digestible. And we speech therapists walk along with you week by week and just give you that support and encouragement as a parent.
Yeah.
No,
I love that, because that was our experience. Was it was very fun to go to speech therapy, both for myself mm-hmm. and for my son. He really liked his speech therapy. There was tons of new toys there, right, that aren't the same mm-hmm. at home. There was the bubbles. They did like so many things.
Yeah. And like, they shouldn't think that they're working, right? Like they right. have no idea that they're working.
Right.
They think they're playing.
Right. And yeah. it was fun it was like good and supportive for me as mom to watch her interact in that playtime and develop those skills, because then I could go home and do that. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I could go home and copy what she was doing while playing with my son. So not only is it teaching me better to engage in that playtime with my son that's more, I don't know, more educational for him, you know, better.
It's intentional, right?
More intentional. Yes. Thank you for my words. But, I felt definitely supported by the speech therapist and given this guidance on how to better engage with him.
Yeah. And we say all the time that parents are with their children so much more than the speech therapist will be. Right. And so if you can learn little things to do at home and you get to do those during your daily routines multiple times a week, you're going to see such bigger progress than if the child just goes to speech therapy one time a week for 30 minutes. Yeah. So we find parents to be the best partners for sure.
Yeah, I know. We got to do two different types of speech therapy, one through like our children's hospital here locally. And then we also had a Help Me Grow, which is like a nonprofit.
Early intervention.
Too. Early intervention. Yeah. And so they came to our home. And so I also was able to get my nanny, who is with him the majority of the time, because I was working full time and in school when I had my first. I was a young single mom. And so she really got involved in it as well. And she kind of said the same thing, just feeling really supported, being able to watch the speech therapist and being able to be more intentional with my son. And so I feel like his progress and only being in speech therapy for a year was really attributed to not only how great the speech therapists were, but how our involvement with the speech therapist just really helped my son succeed.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that's like a big reason we started our Instagram account and our business online, is because we want parents to know these things and we're feeling like, oh, we're just saying this one-on-one in a therapy room. How can we get this message out to more people? Because all of this benefits all kids, whether they're in speech therapy or not, a lot of the things that we share and talk about.
So let's kind of talk about, you know, like some simple doable things that parents could be doing at home. Maybe they're just, you know, first time moms, their babies are getting to these fun stages where you're playing and you're talking, they're babbling. We want to support language development. But life is busy. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more children in the home. How can we keep it doable? How can we keep it simple without feeling so overwhelmed?
Yeah, sure. So one of the easiest things I think parents can do, and probably a lot of you listening are doing this already, but if you're not, it's really easy to kind of make the switch in your brain. And it's simply talking through what your child is experiencing. So say we like to think of through the lens of daily routine. So say you're feeding them a meal and you give them some blueberries and some toast. You can simply make comments on what is happening in that moment. And that's helping them make the connection to understand that word and then also eventually start to say it. So kids need to hear words many, many times before they start to say them on their own. So by you serving these blueberries and then saying the words, oh, they're little, you picked it up with your fingers, it's in your mouth, yum, yum, yum. And also, you don't have to do this all day, every day, but when you have the capacity, when you can, then we really recommend that. And talking through kind of your child's five senses, what are they seeing? What are they experiencing? What are they hearing? So you're really putting language with what is happening to help build up that expressive and receptive vocabulary. And then another thing is we find parents tend to ask like so many questions. So this is one thing, is kind of decrease the quizzing if you can, less questions and more commenting. So instead of what color is that, just telling them and describing what's happening in the moment will actually get them talking more. Yeah. Whereas questions can kind of tend to stop conversation a little bit, which is kind of counterintuitive. So we wanted to make sure to share that today.
Yeah. No, I love that advice. And I think that, you can carry that advice with you when they get to these older stages.
Yeah.
Because then language and, I don't know, communication with these preteen teen kids, it gets a little different. And,
yeah,
you know.
Abby, can we call you up in a few years?
Oh my gosh, girl.
I'm like already so nervous, preteen and teen stage. Like, teach me all your ways.
Right. So, and I work professionally with teenagers. I'm a mental health therapist with teenagers. They are my favorite population of people, and I just think that they're so underrated. But they are so hard, and they're hard when they're yours at your house.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know my oldest. He's on his way. But you know, I do.
He doesn't want to be questioned.
He does not want to be questioned. But you know, and I think that like once they get to some of these older stages, when you're like asking the questions when they come home from school, it's like, "How was school? Good."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you're more like intentional with like your questions that open up conversations, or you know, finding ways that open up conversations, if you're able to start this early and get into these habits, like what good habits to get into, because otherwise you're just like, okay, I guess I know nothing about your life. You know, you got to be really intentional with what kind of information you're wanting to get. And yeah, I don't know. It becomes interesting.
Whole new chapter.
Whole new chapter. Yeah, give me a call.
Yeah, I know.
My daughters, they're 5 and 4. My husband just like looks at me like, oh my gosh, when all three of you are like cycling together, like me and the boys are just gonna move out. I'm like, I would. Oh, it's hard.
Too funny.
Kids are fun, but to circle back to language, right? So let's talk about how to get access to free supports, to therapy, because I think that this is so overwhelming for parents, especially new parents who maybe don't know where to start, and maybe aren't getting the support from their pediatrician like I did. You know, I have a lot of people on my social media that ask questions pretty much every week in my support boxes of my kids 20 months old, not saying any words, my pediatrician isn't concerned, what do I do? And I always write on those like, well, I would go get a speech evaluation because I don't think, like, what are you hurting, right?
Right.
Yeah, no,
losing anything.
That's a great
by
way
getting,
to phrase it. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
You're not losing anything by just getting the evaluation. The worst thing that can happen is they're going to say, oh, no, like, you don't need it. You're good. Like, see you later.
And then you have peace of mind, which is not nothing.
Right.
No, so, it's invaluable.
Yeah. So I definitely think, like, you know, if you're questioning at all, go get the evaluation. But where should parents be starting if they are having these concerns? And now what?
Yeah. So, I mean, we totally agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
I think that your pediatrician is often a good first step, especially if you're just not sure of what your area offers or what insurance is, you know, if insurance is an issue, what places accept your insurance. So a pediatrician can be helpful just because they have relationships with people in the community. But if you're getting some pushback from your pediatrician, we definitely recommend you can go to the CDC's website and type in early intervention, and a link will pop up that you can type in your state where you live, and it will give you contact information. And early intervention services in most places are free of charge. And a great option if you are feeling concerned at a young age. If your child is of the preschool age, you can get a free evaluation through your school district, through your homeschool district. So that's another way to access services. Like you said, the children's hospital in your area was an option for you. There's a lot of clinics, there's private pay, there's lots and lots of options. So don't let finances stop you from kind of figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, I know we were fortunate because we were able to kind of like double dip there, mm-hmm. where the Help Me Grow was the early intervention that was free of charge, which was great for my young single mom self. And then our insurance was better back then. And so the children's hospital was covered by insurance. So we were able to do a weekly where we were like rotating, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was so great. I don't know that my current insurance would cover like anything.
I know. Insurance is such an issue. Yeah, that's another podcast.
I know. So like right in that boat with your mamas. But I love that you guys are promoting the early intervention agencies that do provide free resources, because they are also, they are fabulous. Our Help Me Grow speech therapist was so, so good. She came to our home. She was super fun, super great.
And, that's so awesome.
Free of charge.
And we have a course called Talk Toddler if you're if your child is toddler age. And a lot of families who are on wait lists, because wait lists are long right now, are on wait lists or kind of in limbo with early intervention services. A lot of families have found that to be helpful because we give you a lot of ideas and tricks and tips to try at home. And so that is available too.
Perfect. I'll be linking that in the description of this podcast. Ladies, tell my listeners where they can find you guys.
Yeah, sure. So the best place to connect with us is probably our website, wetalkers.com. And we also offer like online story time and songs and rhymes classes that are totally on demand. So you can like try out one of the free videos that are there. Yeah, and then the other place to connect with us is on Instagram, and it's at WeTalkers.
Perfect. Yeah. All those will be linked in the description of this podcast. Ladies, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. I know language development and all the developmental stuff can just be so overwhelming for parents. And so having wonderful people like yourselves to connect to and feel a little more supported is so, so important. So thank you for being in this space. And cheers to better language development.
Thanks for having us, Abby.
Thanks, Abby. And thanks for sharing your story. It helps others so much just to hear a parent that has gone through it. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks, ladies.
Thanks, Abby.
Bye.
Bye.